From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. As students head back to school for the fall semester, the University of Idaho is preparing for a special dedication. After nearly 2 years of work, the Vandal Healing Garden Memorial is finished. Now, this project began shortly after the tragic loss of four of the school students, and it is now being dedicated as a space to honor the memories of all who died while enrolled at the university. So joining us now to talk more about the upcoming dedication is the University of Idaho's Dean of Students, Blaine Eccles. Blaine, really nice to have you on the program.
Good morning. It's nice to be with you.
So can we just start by talking a little bit more about how this project got started, how it came to fruition?
Absolutely. First of all, I really appreciate the opportunity to visit with you today about the special ceremony that we're going to have tomorrow on the 21st of August. You know, we knew shortly after the tragic crime of November 13th, 2022, that there were going to be calls for folks to create a space where students could remember these four individuals, Kaylee, Maddie, Ethan, and Zanna. And I approached President Green and Provost Lawrence early December, and I said, I'd like to explore what it would look like to create a healing space and a memorial space for these students on campus. And they were full on in support of that happening. But even before then, even before that tragic day, we've lost other students. I think in my tenure here at the University of Idaho, we've lost about 37 students who are currently enrolled. The number one cause is typically car accidents. The number two cause is suicides. And so we've had a lot of grieving students over that time frame. And creating a space where students can come together to remember their lost friends and heal was incredibly important. And so when November 13th happened, it was a stark reminder that we need a space to gather and congregate to heal and begin healing together. And so that's kind of the impetus for how it all came about. I'm really proud of the way we went about doing this. We led with the student response as critical. When I convened a committee together, I pulled in student representatives from each of the chapters that our four students were members of to be sitting voting members on that board, three of them. They were an incredibly powerful reminder to us why we were creating this space. But I also reached out to campus partners like our dean for the College of Art and Architecture, Dr. Shauna Corey, where we have landscape design and design build architecture students happening. And we wanted to situate this as an academic experience for our students from a learning standpoint. And we wanted students in the middle of the entire experience. And so we led with our students and had incredible campus partners and incredible community and, quite frankly, worldwide support for bringing this to fruition. And so I'm just really proud of where we're at. And I'm looking forward to dedicating this healing space tomorrow.
So what was some of the most important feedback that you received in particular from students?
I think the most important feedback from our students through this whole process was to be a place where they could go as a community and grieve, but also go as individuals to grieve, because people grieve in their own ways. And so our students in the College of Art and Architecture did a phenomenal job of receiving feedback. We had open forums where anybody, students or otherwise, could give feedback on design ideas or concepts. And then they took those concepts. And then we had a design charrette last September, as a matter of fact, where we invited a lot of students. The majority of people that participated in the design charrette were students from our community that met at different stations. And they talked about materials. They talked about if you had walking paths, what would they look like? What kind of tree or shrubbery would you want? What color colors? What kind of feeling do you want out of this? So our students gave a tremendous amount of feedback that helped inform the students through the architecture design program in the fall semester, fall of 23. And by the end of the fall semester, they developed a couple really solid conceptual ideas that they then presented to campus leadership. So that helped us inform finalizing the plan of what it would then look like. And then we further worked on in the spring semester, the students in the design build program, they then worked on the memorial aspect of it. What were we going to build specifically to remember our four lost Vandals from November 13th? And then they came up with a couple really spectacular design concepts that they presented to the committee. And we reviewed, gave feedback. We also actually reached out to members of our Lost Vandals and asked for their feedback and their input. What were their favorite colors? What kind of plants did they like? What kind of flowers did they like? So that when we look around the garden, we're going to be able to see pieces of those students through the things that they enjoyed as well. And that was really important to our students. That was really important to our families that participated in those opportunities as well. But lastly, we also wanted to create a space where we could see other students that we've lost through the years. I mean, we're a university that's over 100 years old, and we've lost currently enrolled students to world wars, to other tragic accidents. We had the Galt Hall fire back in the 1950s, where we lost three students. And so they designed some of these memorial sculptures to be reflective of those individuals as well. Not everyone will have a nameplate, but when you look at one of the our two primary sculptures that we have in the Healing Garden, are one is a panels, multiple different panels with different colors, different reflections, and that's symbolic of all the students that we've lost. And then we have a beacon on the hill behind the garden, nestled up in the Shattuck Arboretum, where it's got a lot of little tiny holes. And when that lights up at night, it's absolutely breathtaking. The holes are symbolic of all the souls and the individuals that we've lost through the years as well. And it's just absolutely beautiful and stunning. And so I'm just really proud of our students who have worked so hard to create ways that we can honor our four students in particular, because of that tragic situation, but also the other students that we've lost through the years.
And my understanding, Lane, is that you do have a special sculpture, correct, to honor the four students who were killed in 2022. Can you tell us a little bit about that sculpture in particular?
Yeah, that sculpture is really, it's really quite breathtaking what they've done. I know we're on radio, so I'll try to describe it visually for folks. Mm-hmm. But if you imagine a bunch of metal poles that go in the ground with long rectangular flags on them, metal flags. And the metal flags have a sheen or a patina to them that as you walk around the sculpture, they kind of shift in the hue and the colors. And when you stand in front of the nameplates for each of the four students, in front of Zanna's nameplate or Ethan's nameplate or Kaylee's or Maddie's nameplate, and you look up at the sculpture, there's specific panels of the sculpture that will reflect back to the color that's on their nameplate. And so we have it really designated that way to kind of stand out to honor them. But it's also, they're all then surrounded by other paneled metal pieces to reflect other vandals we've lost too. And so the students were very creative on how they came up with that design concept. I've never seen anything quite like it. And it's really, I think, quite breathtaking when you look at it.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, there has been, as you know, so much attention surrounding the tragedy in November of 2022. I mean, it's gotten worldwide attention. But as you mentioned, you know, at a university, tragically, students pass away. It happens. It happens at the University of Idaho even before this. And so to be able to make a space to honor all students who have passed, to me, that's so important. And when this conversation was starting, I'm curious to know, you know, was that one of the first things talked about, or was it something where it was like, yes, this was such a tragedy that happened. However, it's always a tragedy when we lose a student.
You hit it on the nose. It is always a tragedy, and whether it gets national attention or not, to the family and friends that lose that individual, their world has ended in so many different ways. And, you know, I have the sad privilege as a dean of students to be in spaces where I'm interacting with the families in the darkest moments of their life. And every single one, it's a heartbreaking moment for them. And the friends that are left behind by those that we've lost, it's heartbreaking for them as well. And I've sat in the residence hall spaces with students. I've gone to the chapters to sit with the students as they're grieving and mourning their friends they've lost for whatever reason. And the pain is just as raw. The only difference is the media attention that is provided to some and not others. But the pain is still raw and it's ever present. And so we wanted to make sure that we created a space that in the future, we know we're going to lose more students. That's just life. That's just the odds and whatnot. And we want to make sure that we're creating a space where they can intentionally gather when that happens. Because too often what we see is students having impromptu memorials on campus, and they don't know where to go. They don't know how to come together, or where is it okay for them to do it in a place that feels respectful. And so that's the beautiful thing about our healing garden, is this is definitely a place for them to do it. But even more than that, it's also a place where they can heal through communicating with their lost loved one. We have these little alcoves there for some privacy. You can sit in the alcove, collect your thoughts, think, and reflect on your friendship. But we have votives in there too, where students can literally write messages to their loved ones and leave them in the votives so that they can communicate with them directly. And what we're doing as an institution with those is we're going to collect those over a period of time, and we're going to then archive them as a way for us to honor the memory and the legacy of the messages that they've left to their loved ones. And so I'm really pleased that we're creating a space to do this. You know, and the idea for that came out of the Hiroshima Memorial over in Japan. There's a phone booth located in the memorial there, where loved ones can go and pick up a phone and literally just talk to their deceased loved ones. And so we brought that concept into the Healing Garden here so that folks could still continue that communication with those that they've lost, and they might remember, write a poem, write a special memory, just say, I miss you or I love you. And I can't think of a better way to create a space for healing to occur than creating a private opportunity for folks to grieve and reflect and hopefully have some joyous memories in those moments too.
And I would think as well, Blaine, this space can really be used for any student who might be, grieving, right? Or might need just a space to gather their thoughts, right? Whether or not maybe they, you know, if they've known a student who's passed away, I mean, it could be a family member. I would think that you can, this is going to be open to anyone, right? For any necessary need.
Absolutely. This location is designed as an accessible way for anybody to go up, whether they're a student or employee or a community member or a family member, to go and just have an introspective, quiet place. That's why we call it the Healing Garden. It's designed in an infinity figure eight loop, so you can just kind of make some paces around as you walk through and look at the beautiful landscaping that our students planted themselves, that our landscape design students identified for our environment and our weather up here to be hardy and navigate through. There's great opportunities, and it's nestled right up in the heart of campus. So there are no through roads going by. There is right up at the base of the Shattuck Arboretum. It's a very peaceful location and very quiet, but it's also in a location where you still have life happening. We still have classes that are going on. And the whole point is we're not here to create a cemetery. That's not the feel we're looking for. We're looking for a healing space. And part of healing is remembering and recalling that life continues on, and we have the ability to impact other lives in positive way. And so we want to help folks feel, work through their grief, work through their sorrow, but also come away with an understanding that there's still beauty in life as well too. You know, through the dark times, you can still find light. And that's what we've done with the Healing Garden and Memorial. That's definitely what we have the beacon up there for, because in the darkest days of the university, all you have to do is go out there at night and see this beacon shining on the hill. That's just breathtakingly beautiful. And it can't help but inspire hope and solace and peace.
So as you said, the dedication ceremony is tomorrow, the 21st of August. What does it mean to finally be able to open this space? And you know, tomorrow you're actually going to be able to see students, community members, you know, being in this space.
Yeah, it means a great deal to our community. I'm nothing but proud of our students in the College of Art and Architecture. The students in the design build program specifically worked all summer to bring this to life and bring it into fruition. And they did so without pay. They did so without college credit. They did it because they loved the project. They were committed to seeing it through. So more than anything, I'm really excited to have this showcase what our students can do at the University of Idaho and how hard these individuals worked to deliver on their commitment to do something right by the students to create a healing space. But I'm also looking forward to seeing this place used. I want folks to have a place where they can go, and if they just need a break, life can be very stressful sometimes. And this is going to be a nice healing location where folks can just wander over, have a moment, quiet place, a very respectful place, and then create an opportunity for reflection as well. And that's really exciting for us. We're going to have the ceremonies at 4:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we're going to have writing stations where people can write notes and leave them in the votives tomorrow. Starting tomorrow, we're going to have the name unveiling of unveiling. They'll be up, but people can walk around the memorial, see the nameplates for the Ethan, Kaylee, Zanna, and Maddie, and look at the sculpture and do their own reflection. And I hope they take a moment to think on their lost loved ones and say a silent prayer or a moment of silence for them in that healing space and moment.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk with us about this. Really appreciate your time today.
Gemma, I really appreciate the opportunity to visit with you. And I just want to say thank you to everybody who's been in support of the university, either through donations or the notes or the emails of call and support and care. It's absolutely been tremendously overwhelming to see how much support we have received, our students have received. And truly, everyone is a vandal and became one during that dark time. And we're so thankful for that. And we're proud to be the University of Idaho. We're proud to represent the state of Idaho. And just thank you to everybody.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
New from the Embedded podcast. Female athletes have always needed grit and talent. But for decades, they've also needed a certificate.
There was chit-chat about, is that really a woman?
And even now, they're still being checked and questioned. Their story is the newest series from CBC and NPR's Embedded. It's called Tested. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.